You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you so much for being here with me today. We're going to be talking to my good friend, Jeffrey Dale Cole. And for those of you who may be asking, no, no relation. We were joking about that before the broadcast today, but we may be related. Who knows? We'll find out one day. But we're talking about his book, Emergent Vision, which has won awards and is a hot book that you definitely want to get a copy of. So make sure you go to Amazon.com or wherever books are sold and get your copy of Emergent Vision, which we'll be talking about in just a few moments. I want to first of all thank you for your support. My 19th book has been published. I published it yesterday. It's called A Bride for Valentine. Let me tell you, your initial responses have been absolutely wonderful. You really make being a writer such fun. Thank you to my readers who constantly support me and who constantly push me to give you great books. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I want to always remind you that we are supporting Elizabeth Chalker. As those of you who know her, she is the author who wrote the book Hanging On by the Scratch Marks, My Fingernails Left Behind, as she deals with toxins and mold and things of that nature. So she's looking for a safe home. So if you go to my Facebook page and click on the GoFundMe link, you'll be able to support Elizabeth as you can. So make sure you prayerfully consider supporting Elizabeth. You know, she's in dire straits, and if you want to help her out, you certainly can. And then I want to invite you to the Southern California Christian Writers Conference. If there's any conference that you want to go to, this is the one to go to. This conference has everything you need. If you are a seasoned, this is the conference. It takes place June 20th through the 22nd in Fullerton, California at Hope International University. I'll be there. I'll be doing a lot of interviews with the faculty and hopefully with you. So I hope you will join me there. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, but you know you can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Write Stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on RightStream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you are here with me. We're going to be talking to Jeffrey Dale Cole. He is the author of the book Emergent Vision. It is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. This book has won awards, and you want to see what it's all about? Go ahead and get your copy today. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Jeffrey Dale Cole. Jeffrey, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you, Parker.
I am so glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. I never take it lightly when we have our guests with us. And thank you so much because you could have been anywhere else, but you chose today to be with us. So thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a blessing to be here. Thank you.
One of the things that I got to definitely ask you is to tell us about yourself, because you have a very interesting background that I think our listeners will love to get a peek at. One thing is that we both have the same name, Cole, and as I told our listeners before the opening of our broadcast, no relation. But then I was telling you before we started, it may be because some story in the family goes, there are five brothers, I guess one went east, one went west. I don't know where the fifth one went, because I don't want to say north and south, because where did the fifth one go? I guess it just stayed in place there. But go ahead, tell us about yourself in your own words.
Well, I think for the longest time I was the one that was staying in place, but but just recently I've actually become an author over, well, you know, they always say, oh, an overnight success or whatever. But, you know, this first book to get published took me about 10 years to do. But now I'm rolling downhill. So my background is I'm a pastor. I've had a 20-year career, over 20-year career in design engineering. I've been a musician and things like that. So I've got this kind of strange blend of artistic and kind of engineering mind, and I decided one day to put that to use in writing a novel. And really, the story is a little bit deeper than that, and I don't think you mind going deep. I think that's what we're here for today. But so as far as how this came about is I had, as many of us do at points in our lives, a season of medical question and a season of fear and questioning that my wife and I went through. And in those times, a lot of us come to the point where we ask, well, what am I here to accomplish? If I've just got one thing that I'm supposed to be doing before I get a promotion to the unseen realm, right? Mm-hmm. What is it? And that answer came back for me quite clearly, that I was supposed to finish this story and finish this book and get it out there. So it did still take me a little while after that to get it done, but after some toiling, I self-published first, and then I did finally get published with Author Academy Elite. And this fall, the book, which is the first book in a series called The Babel Resurgence. So it's Emergent Vision, The Babel Resurgence, Book 1. That's how people can find it if they're searching for it online. So it's the first book in that series, and in October, this book won an Author Academy Award in the science fiction division. So we were not expecting that and are quite blessed by that.
That's the nice thing about when we are obedient to the calling that God gives us. The reason why is because we never know what is on the other side of obedience. And that is an important lesson that so many of our listeners should take to heart, because you know you have the gift to write. You know it's in you. You know you should be writing, but you aren't. But you never know what is on the other side of obedience. And for yourself, Jeffrey, having been a pastor, is it, or actually I should say, what is it that stops us so much from being obedient when it comes to using our gifts?
Yeah, well, this whole line of conversation, it might, from my thought process right now, might take a little bit of a side note from where you're going, but this whole idea...
You certainly can. You certainly can.
Yeah, the other side of obedience, that has been a strong motivator in my life. One thing, as a pastor, I do teach younger couples, and not just couples, but everyone, in this concept of love. Because we're in a society that feels things, right? We think that mm-hmm. love is an emotion and a feeling at some point. And actually, this book, Emergent Vision, there is kind of this love interest theme going through the whole thing. And what it does by the end is really portrays, this historic Christian marriage concept as this species in our society that is trying to make a comeback, mm-hmm. that it's such a tame thing in a wild world. But it brings it back around to this idea of the other side of obedience, is that love in the biblical sense and true love is really comes down to an act of the will, right? And what is on the other side of the decision to love someone is something unimaginable. Because many of us get to a point in our marriage where, the 5-year itch, the 7-year itch, I guess people have different years for their itch, but a lot of people don't make it past that because they don't realize this fact that at some point you have to make a decision to love someone, and it's an act of love, which is a pure act of the will. And it doesn't feel all really at that point, but on the other side of that are thrills that you can't imagine on the front side of that. And there's a little bit of that by the time you get to the end of this book, there's a little bit of that theme in here as well. Even though it's technically science fiction, but it's a very character-driven book, and there's a lot of depth in there. So,
well, people relate to each other, and that's one of the best things, or rather the best elements about fiction, is that you can create these characters that go through things in real life that people relate to. And I really like how you said love is it's an act and the power of the will. It really is, because it's not a feeling, it's a decision that you make.
Right.
And like you said, on the other side of that decision, you may not like it, especially when your spouse, for example, I will use spouses, but it could be your mom, your dad, any relationship, and you love them despite the fact that they may have hurt you. You love them despite the fact they may have did something to you. You know what I'm saying? So I really appreciate that you're saying that, and that you put that into context about being obedient, because on the other side of that obedience, like you said, we have no idea what's on the other side of obedience. So I'm really glad that you brought that out. Yeah. I hope our listeners listening in captures that very important top part of this conversation. And so you're working on this book, and you said the Lord told you got to get it done. You got it done, and then it started to just steamroll from there. The stuff started happening because, like you said, you were being obedient. And I like the fact that you sharing that with us, because someone, we want someone to be encouraged today as you tell your story. So you're coming up with this idea of emergent vision. What was the genesis of that?
Well, the book draws its premise from the ancient account of the Tower of Babel. So the idea is, I thought one day, well, we are getting really, really close to a time in history where the effects of the events at the Tower of Babel are going to be reversed by humanity. You know, everyone's going to be able to come together all in one language with one, you know, with one agenda. And, you know, in that account in Genesis, it says that God himself said, you know, these people coming together all in one voice, there's anything that they imagine to do will not be impossible for them, right? So that to me was an intriguing concept that God himself was saying about humanity, and nothing they imagine to do will be impossible for them. So I thought that that's great fodder for fiction for sure. So.
Well, a lot of people see, depending on what view of the end times that you have, because some people I've interviewed on the show have been preterist, some people have been futuristic. Regardless, if you're a futurist, you see this trend. And do you feel, Jeff, that it's cause for concern?
Well, I mean, no matter what your view on that, any one of us reading to the end of the book, you know, we don't need to be concerned in that sense. But I think it is it's quite concerning the speed at which technology is exponentially moving forward. And in fact, the funny thing is, when I started this book, I wrote in some technology things that were still science fiction at that point, but now are no longer science fiction. So that's how fast it's going.
That's scary. It's like you're a prophet. You know what I mean? Like, I just prophesied this and it happened. Give me $1,000. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And,
you know, that's
and along those lines, too, just for anyone coming to this book for the first time, it has the flavor of, you know, biblical prophecy, but it's not meant to be, you know, this is what's going to happen. I'm not saying this is, you know, this is what the Bible is saying is going to happen. It's really, it's a morality tale, which takes the ancient Tower of Babel concept and places it in the near future. The main point is about purpose and potential. Because at the Tower of Babel, you had humanity really going rampant, fulfilling its potential, and God himself concerned about them fulfilling their potential in their current state, right? Without regards to their purpose. Because what had they done? God set a purpose earlier in Genesis for humanity to be fruitful, multiply, spread throughout all the earth. And what do you find at Babel? They did just the opposite. They gathered all together in one place to make a name for themselves. So they weren't regarding their purpose, but they were fulfilling their potential. And that's really an overarching theme in this book, is a morality tale for us to watch out about always trying to worry about being the best we can be at this or at that without regard to who we're supposed to be, who we're called to be. So.
You know, that's a good thing to mention. Is potential and purpose congruent? That is very interesting that you would take that route. And I love the fact that we're talking to you today about this. And for those of you who are just listening in, we're talking to Jeffrey Cole. He is the author of the book Emergent Vision, which is book one of The Babel Resurgence, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. If you want to call in and ask a question, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag WriteStuff, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on WriteStream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, we are talking to Jeffrey Dale Cole. He is the author of the book Emergent Vision, which is book one of The Babel Resurgence, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy today. Now, Jeffrey, before the break, you made the distinction of purpose and potential. And until you said it, I never thought there was anything to worry about. But you were very particular about that, and I want to simmer on that because this also reaches out to our writers who have the potential and aren't living in their purpose, or who have the purpose and aren't fulfilling their potential. So I want to talk about that. So go ahead and give us some nuggets of gold when it comes to purpose and potential.
Oh, sure. I mean, just think of it this way. There's a certain Olympic swimmer who has won more Olympic medals than anyone else ever, right? Imagine if he trained all that time but never entered a contest, never entered a race. He had fulfilled his potential, but to what purpose, right? So there is a difference between those two things. And a lot of times we get caught up with comparing ourselves to others as, you know, am I the best at this or am I getting better at that? And all along you're using that gifting in something that is not fulfilling you because it's not your purpose. So you can be the best at something and still not feel fulfilled at the end if you haven't taken regard for your purpose, but only have had regard for your potential, right? I mean, there's stories everywhere of you know, people like winning a World Series and then sitting in their hotel by themselves at night after that because there's nothing more, right? You know, just a letdown and a depression. That's the kind of emotional side of that. But for me, coming out of a 20-year career in engineering, that's what we do as engineers is kind of train purpose into a system. Because if not, then you haven't really accomplished anything, right? So without getting too detailed, I just hopefully I've shed some light on the fact that there is a difference between purpose and potential, and most people don't even ask themselves what their purpose is, but they're always trying to fulfill their potential, but they never feel fulfilled because they've left off the purpose part. And purpose has several elements to it. You know, the ultimate purpose part, which comes from the Creator, right? Then there's the human purpose part, which we talked a little bit about here with the Tower of Babel and humanity not fulfilling their purpose. But by the way, just a side note, we talked about love earlier. Purpose, ultimate purpose, because God is love, he purposed us to be loved by him, right? And to return his love to him. So if you haven't gotten that piece correct yet, you're not going to be fulfilled in anything else. So that was a huge light bulb for me at one point in my life. Because a lot of us go around thinking that we can't be loved, right? But it is actually our purpose as a creature of God to be loved, and to return that love to God and to others. So
I think that will free somebody today as they listen to that. And just to add my two cents to what you were saying, last week I had an author friend send me a link to a message that a person named Dr. Miles Monroe said on potential. And one of the things that he said was the richest place in the world was not – in any industry or any country, it was in a cemetery. And he said, if I can mine the cemetery, I will mine all those dreams that were never fulfilled, those books that were never written, those paintings that were never painted, the inventions that were never invented. He said, I'll mine all that. And I just can't help but recognize the parallel of purpose and potential, and when they are in sync with each other, there's no road you can't climb, especially because it all comes from God, who gives us that potential and also gives us that purpose. So I really appreciate you saying that, and I hope for our listeners out there that you take it to heart. So let's get into emergent vision. So I cannot wait to delve into this. Tell us about what the story is. You've hinted at ideas about emergent vision, but go ahead and tell us what it's all about without giving us any spoilers, though.
All right. I'll try not to do spoilers. That's hard for me. but I like to – when I write, I kind of see it on a movie screen in my mind, right? So when I tell people about this, I kind of want – then, you know, hey, close your eyes with me and imagine for a minute. If you're driving and listening to this, don't do that. But hey, just imagine with me for a minute that your fists are clenching wet sand, and you taste salt as the waves come crashing over you, and you revert to a fetal position and gasp for breath because you've just spent hours fighting the currents of shark-infested waters to find yourself here on the beach of this deserted island paradise. Now, what were you running from that made you jump from a perfectly good boat? And what are you hiding from that made you forget that paradise is not supposed to be deserted? Well, the main character in this book, Dr. Noah McAdams, was running from his past and hiding from his future. But in a technological world where tyranny reaches all the way down to the level of thought, he found himself summoned to serve the very system that he was hiding from. And it was an ancient system from a place called Babel, where, as we already said, humanity last came together all in one language to make a name for themselves. And God himself said about those ancient ones, that nothing they imagine to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language. Now, the question is, what was God so concerned about? Now, the Babel resurgence looms. Whose vision will emerge? That is the question of this series. Whose vision is going to emerge in this technological age where man has reversed the effects of the Tower of Babel? So that's basically the concept for the series. Now, emergent vision, there are actually kind of two visions going on, and they're competing from our hero, Dr. Noah McAdams, and the antagonist who is kind of has this ancient air about him. In fact, let me read just a little snippet from the prologue, which kind of sets up this ancient tone, the ancient roots of the story, which then the story itself takes place in the near future. But let me just read a little bit here. No one really knew where he came from or how old he was, but his nearly 8-foot stature and imposing physique were seen as godlike in the ancient world. Although the fear for life and limb one felt in his presence played a large role in his rise to power, it was more than that. He had an air about him that was magnetic. He was deceptively charming and always able to convince those around him that his ideas were really the best thing for them, and that following him would be personally rewarding and fulfilling. It was only when someone saw through his rhetoric that he stood over the unfortunate soul and made threats without words. At that point, if one were to look into his eye, a darkness could be detected unlike anything in the natural world, and pure fear would bring the will into submission. It had been decades since the massive foundation had been laid for the first step in the base of the tower. It was so large in its footprint that even the finished tower seemed to lie about its true height. The scale was so deceiving that one could be too far away to detect the other structures around it and yet feel as if an outstretched arm could lean on it, as if it were a wall only a few feet away. It was this kind of awe-striking deceptiveness that made the years seem to pass so quickly. Strangely enough, even for those who bore the burden of the unimaginable labor, time always seems to reveal a nagging drive within the human spirit, a gnawing longing to be part of something greater than oneself. The pain and consequence of self-directed attempted fulfillment of such longing are often overlooked until the moment of catastrophic confusion. The moment when one realizes that the hole can't be filled by any natural means or human endeavor. A man-made mountain is still, in the end, nothing but a pile of bricks.
That was a wonderful excerpt. That was absolutely wonderful. I like how you said a man-made mountain is nothing but a pile of bricks at the end of the day. And it kind of puts things into perspective. It really does put things into perspective. So go ahead and tell us about that excerpt and what were some of the things you were letting our readers know about in just the prologue.
Right, sure. Well, this is describing the world leader in the ancient times during the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
History has his name as Nimrod, possibly. That's neither here nor there. But in the book, The prologue takes place in the ancient, and then the beginning of the story takes place in the near future, and you see that a similar figure has risen to power on the earth and
mm-hmm.
is now using the entirety of humanity and all of the potential of humanity towards his own ends. So that's really where we come into the story, and we have Dr. Noah McAdams, who he's a genius. He was a child prodigy, and he also is a man of faith, and in many. So what I often tell people about this book is that that it's kind of written from the worldview of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, but it's written to like the fanboys of Star Trek and Star Wars and the Marvel universes. So this main character is kind of this strange mix of a very scientific man, but also a man of faith. And he sees what's going on in the world with this world leader kind of wielding the potential of humanity as a weapon almost. And he decides to just quit, you know, and go off. And he is actually the one that ends up on the beach of a deserted island that we talked about earlier. So he kind of strands himself there, and people often ask, well, you know, is there some of you in what you write? And I'm sure you'll say the same thing, Parker, that when you write, there's always a little bit of you in just about all the characters, right?
So, exactly.
So I identify with that desire for the main character to just kind of quit the world and go off by himself, right? I grew up with Tourette's, but it was undiagnosed at that point when I was a child, and you know there was a lot of social anxiety that comes along with that, and it wasn't until later in life that I was really diagnosed with all those things, but then I started to understand one, and this is what everyone needs to understand. Is that we need to understand, one, how we were made, and two, how we've been broken. That is part of the purpose training that I teach. I actually teach a course that takes some of the concepts from the book and uses them in that kind of purpose training. But that's something that we all have to face up against. We have to, in order to go forward and be healed and be whole, we have to understand, one, how we were made, what our purpose was originally, and two, how we've been broken. Who came along and bent us? How did we break ourselves, right? How did we mm-hmm. fall down and skin our knees and our chin? We have to understand those two things because as an engineer, if I don't know what the blueprint said about what this structure is supposed to be, I don't know how to fix it, right? Take for example a building that has been destroyed by a tornado. Unless I know what it looked like originally, I can't fix it and restore it to what it was, right? So that's part of the main character finds himself alone and broken, right? And because things are working out in the world in a way that, because just like us, he's read to the end of the book, but the world isn't looking like he thought it was supposed to look, so he thought he was just going to give up. But ultimately you find in this story that if you go to wise people, we all have wise mentors in our life. Some of us call them disciples, right? Teachers, mm-hmm. mentors. If you go back and find those people when you're going through a struggle like this, one of his mentors had this wise advice for him is, you know, hey, what if Daniel had not stood up and showed his gifts and showed himself to be competent in the court of a king, right? Because mm-hmm. Daniel could have had the attitude that this is a, you know, just a broken system. It's against the one true and living God, and I'm just not going to partake. But he was actually called to be there and be a voice and partake in it, but to be the right voice in that. So, you know, and the Bible is full of those characters. Joseph is another one, you know, and we mentioned Daniel. But so that's what this main character, he finds himself being called through this vision that is haunting him, really, he gets the idea that he is supposed to be involved in this just secular humanistic endeavor that the leader of the world is putting forth, called the Babel Resurgence Project. So
I like the fact that you put so much into our main character, Dr. McAdams, because he reflects a lot of us. There have been so many times going away on a desert island, on a deserted island, and just let things happen sometimes, especially if, like, not even like a big thing. We could be at work sometimes, and you're like, I want to be somewhere other than here. You know what I mean? Let me just be somewhere other than here. Let me just get a hermit. I'll be a hermit on the island somewhere. But God does not call us to isolation. He calls us to be in relationship with him and with each other. And I think that's important, because with relationship, you have the opportunity to affect change. One thing you said is that this character that is using the ability to change people, to take human potential and is wielding it, it lets you know just how powerful we are, and it lets you know why that potential has to be harnessed. Because if it's not harnessed correctly, like you said, with the Tower of Babel, there's a reason why the Lord muddled the languages. And then you say, hey, we're getting back to that now. And that is quite fascinating to me. And so for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking to Jeffrey Cole. He is the author of the book Emergent Vision, which is available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guests on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the Queen of Tuesday Night, Parker J., and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you are here with me today. We're talking to Jeffrey Dale Cole. He is the author of the book Emergent Vision, which is book one of the Babel Resurgence series. This has won awards and is getting great responses, so make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. And Jeffrey, once again, thank you for being with us on the show. And we do have a caller calling in. We have my good friend, R.D. Palmer. R.D., how are you feeling today?
I am doing good. Thank you, Parker. And it sounds really interesting, if I could ask my question.
Go right ahead.
Yes, Jeffrey, great concept, I believe, dealing with the Tower of Babel or the similarities of the Tower of Babel, what is in Genesis in the future. A couple questions that I have, and certainly if it's a spoiler and you don't want to say it, then I certainly understand. A couple things that you mentioned, one language, and of course we've got technology, which is helping us, and you also mentioned one agenda. So my first question, Jeffrey, is can you tell us what that one agenda is? Because that's really giving me a cliffhanger. I'm not hearing what that agenda is. Maybe you can just say, well, read the book, and that's a perfectly good answer. But I'm really curious about that. The other question, and I'll hang up and listen to you, Jeffrey, is You had mentioned that you self-published and then you went to, I guess, a regular publisher. I'm interested in why you did that. And if you don't mind, just one, I'll say a third question. You've got book one out now. How many other books are you planning on in this series? So I'll hang up and I'll listen. And again, I just want to tell you, I think that the concept that you have is really great. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, RD, for your question.
Yeah, thanks for listening tonight, and thanks for the question. I'll try to remember all of them. There were at least
I'll
three there,
I'll help you
there,
out, Jeff, you're fine.
All right.
Yeah, I'll
all
help
right.
you out.
So I'll just touch on the technological part first. So this is the near future where the agenda of the world leader is he offers people an implant in their brain to where that, you know, it's basically a cell phone that you don't that you're kind of cyborged into, right? So we're almost there already, right? Everyone always has their cell phone with them all the time, and they can take a thought from their head and text it to their friend halfway around the world. So you are literally sending your thoughts to someone halfway around the world. You're just using your fingers and your eyes, but you can do it without even speaking, right? So the technology in this is that it just takes the exterior out of it, and you just think what you want to whoever, wherever they are, and they hear you in their language, and you hear them in your language. And when you're walking down the street and talk to someone, they're hearing you in their language, and you're hearing them in your language, right? So that's the technological part to it, and that's one of the main reasons why this is in the science fiction category, because technology plays a large role in bringing about the reversal of the effects of the Tower of Babel through technology. The other part of the world leader's agenda is literally finding man at the center of the universe. And that's an overarching concept. That is pregnant with meaning for sure. But he's literally doing it with a large space vessel that is a multi-generational space vessel that carries with it everything anyone would ever need for indefinitely, right? So that's what he's trying to do, and that's why the main character does not he doesn't see this as a sane thing. He doesn't see it as part of human's purpose at this point, because let me just get back to something we were talking about, is that the reason, have you ever asked yourself, well, why did God confuse the language at the Tower of Babel and not just let them fulfill their potential, right? He gave them their potential. Mm-hmm. He gave us our potential. Well, the thing is, we're still bent and broken, right? He doesn't want us to amplify our brokenness. He wants us to come to him and get fixed first, and then he'll help us to amplify it and fulfill our purpose, right? So the world leader is trying to find humanity at the center of the universe, where we know that that's actually supposed to be the place that God holds, right? Did I hit all of his questions? What else?
Well, he did want to know how many books are planned.
Oh, for sure there's three books in this series, possibly a fourth, which would be maybe a prequel. But for sure there's going to be three in this series. But you know how series go. Sometimes there's just more story to tell. So you just keep with the concept or the characters or both and just keep telling a story. But for sure, right now, there's three books.
Well, it's quite fascinating about the whole idea. It's because of the fact that we can take our cell phones and transmit our thoughts via text. And that brings people together. And, of course, me being a Trekkie, because I'm a diehard Star Trek fan, so having the universal translator titillates me because, you know, why not? But at the same time, learning a language helps you bridge gaps too. But with this idea, you wouldn't have to learn the language. You wouldn't have to extend yourself. You wouldn't have to build that relationship. All you got to do is talk. You can get your objective done. And there you go.
Yep.
And so me being a person who enjoys and sees relationships, if I can say this the right way, as currency, I see relationships very valuable. I can see how something like this could be detrimental to just human relationships in general. But that's another topic for another time. And so I'm really excited for those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice that you pick up your copy of Emergent Vision, which is book one of the Babel Resurgence on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And what's so cool about the book is that it's available in many different versions. You also can get it in audiobook. So if you want an audiobook, guess what? Go ahead and get your copy of that. So you can get a copy of it. And like I said, it has won awards. I love the cover of that. The other thing that RD wanted to ask you is, why did you choose to go from self-publishing to getting a traditional publisher? Why did you do that? That was the third question, or actually the second question that he asked.
Yeah, and actually, I didn't go the traditional publisher route. I went what I think is the future, is a better route, because you know this book is about technology changing things, right? And we know as authors that the internet and technology, downloadable things, all of that stuff has changed the publishing industry too. And just like in, I'm also a musician, so. Just like in the music industry, the industry didn't kind of understand that for a long time, but the world's changed around them. The same thing is happening in publishing. I went the more collaborative route where I got access to the distribution and all of the mentorship and relationships that it takes to make a book successful. And I partnered with those people. So my publisher is that kind of partnership where I actually get to keep the rights to my book, but we all win because we pool together, and I get the relationships that it takes to make a launching a book successful in all of that. And I get the distribution and all of the different types. You mentioned, like, for example, the audiobook, which is really great. It's narrated by British voice actor Joel Nisbet. So it's really cool. You heard me read some, but wait until you hear him read it in this British accent. So it has this kind of one world, you know, British news kind of accent to it. It's really fun. But you can actually get that if you don't have an Audible account already. If you go to my website, jeffreydalecole.com, at the top of the homepage, there's a red button that says the audiobook is available. And if you push that, you can actually get the audio version for free right now. You just have to sign up for a free trial of Audible, which you can cancel if you don't end up using it. But it's a free 3-month trial if you don't already have Audible, and you'll get my audiobook free. So that's something that they can get right from my site there.
What's really interesting is that the industry is being changed by technology, and so you have to be on the curve of how that changes. Amazon changed the industry just by opening up ebook and ebook publishing. They changed it that way, and so in order to stay with it, you got to stay on the current and on the up and up. So I'm glad that you mentioned that way, because I have heard of that type of deal that you're talking about. I have heard of that where it's more collaborative, and you get these partnerships with different with different sections of the industry, with distribution, marketing, blah, blah. You make your I think there may be even a fee involved. I don't know. You don't have to say anything about that. But I think you work with them, and that everyone pushes and does what they do best in that collaborative, and that's
right.
How things work. So I congratulate you on that, which I think is a great idea for our authors out there. And guess what, Jeffrey? We are running out of time. We are running out of time.
Right.
We have about 5 minutes left. So I want to have people to have an opportunity to get in contact with you. So if they want to get in contact with you, where can they find you online?
Well, my webpage is jefferydalecole.com, and that's jefferydalecole.com. So that's my main hub, and you can email me there. There's a contact page there. If people were interested in that publishing route I was talking about, you can go to daline.biz, that's daline.biz, and there's a button on that front page called My Book Hook, and you'll actually get some great free information there about that whole process. So people can do that. But jefferydalecole.com is my main hub, and people can email me there. And there's also links to my Facebook on that as well. So.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I would say you've been so very helpful with us today, telling us about your story, about your past, about working together, about potential, about purpose, just a lot of things that you really crammed into this hour that we have with you. And I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today. And I always ask our authors that at the end of the show, you give us an encouraging word to encourage the authors out there whom God has given the gift, the right to pick up the pen and do so. So go ahead, in the few moments we have left, encourage those authors out there today.
Oh, sure. I mean, you're kind of hitting me up at the last minute on this, but that's okay, because that same thing happened to me at the Author Academy Awards this year. I didn't expect to win, and hadn't prepared anything. But what came to me once I was holding the award in my hand and standing in front of a room full of people who were clapping for me, all that came to me was this, that if this dyslexic introvert can become an author and a public speaker, you can do whatever it is that's inside of you that you're supposed to do. So that is my encouraging word to all of you out there. I'm dyslexic and I'm an introvert, and I have social anxiety, but I'm speaking on the radio right now to you, and I've written an award-winning book. I don't, you know, I can't explain that other than to say you can do whatever it is that you're supposed to do as well.
Jeff, what a wonderful, wonderful words to close out our show today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Parker.
And for those of you listening, we were talking to Jeffrey Dale Cole. He is the author of the book Emergent Vision, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. One thing that I want you to take to heart is that you cannot be in your purpose without recognizing your potential. You cannot live in purpose without knowing what your potential is, and vice versa. That's one thing that Jeffrey honed into us today. And I think that's highly important. As he used the example of an Olympic swimmer, what if he had did everything, he knew how to swim, do all the different movements, but never entered into any competition? What would he be? Someone who did not fall to their purpose and who did not use his potential to the fullest. One thing I want to tell you, for those of you who are authors out there, if God has given you the gift to write, he's given you that potential, he wants you to fulfill his purpose, then pick up the pen and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.